Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. If you track your HRV with a wearable, then you are going to get a lot out of this episode with Mark McLaughlin. Mark is an elite performance coach who has trained over 700 athletes in his career, from high school athletes to NFL players, Olympians, and special operators. He's also one of the top experts when it comes to HRV for training. He's been using HRV for decades, literally. He's one of the absolute best. So today we're going to talk about what HRV is, when you should measure it, how to improve it, and then how you can use HRV for training and improving training outcomes. It's an awesome discussion. If you missed episode 427 on building super athletes, youth athletes specifically, you should definitely go check it out. So let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Heart rate variability is a really hot topic. You've been dealing with HRV. I've been dealing with HRV with athletes for years, but now that it's easily accessible from our wrist, devices like the Oura Ring, people are really kind of dialed into like HRV. I need to improve my HRV. But it's a complex thing. First of all, let's talk about what is HRV, and then how can we systematically improve it in the context of being an adult, right? Like 35, 40, whatever, 50 years old, that's just wants to improve this parameter.
Sure. So the HRV, heart rate variability, and maybe some of your audience knows, like, it's been around for a long time, right? I think the Russians put it like, 1950, I think, if my HRV history is correct.
The cosmonaut.
And it was, yeah. And so it's been there to, in a non-invasive way, see how your system, your autonomic nervous system, is responding to stress from the two branches there, the parasympathetic, the rest and relax, and the sympathetic, you know, the fight or flight response. And through HRV, whether it's through the fingertip or through the finger or with a chest strap, it's measuring, you know, in between each heartbeat. And what unique signature does that have from a resting state? And I think one good book to understand stress, and I don't know if you've ever talked about it, is Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers from Sapolsky. Mm. And it, you know, that kind of goes into how humans kind of respond to stress from all these different physiological aspects. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, I think, in a basic way, kind of what HRV is.
Yeah, now, it's a signal for how you're adapting to stress.
Yeah, in a general manner. It doesn't matter whether, even though you and I know each other, being on this show to me could be stressful in a good way, in a not in a bad way, but it could be heightened. Your kids could come home and have a ton of homework. That's a stressor, not picking up their room. I mean, all of these things that kind of go into the readiness of how we kind of go through our day.
So how do we improve this?
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we've seen a lot of data, right? Some of the greatest performers in the world. And from a day-to-day standpoint of people that are working an 8-to-5 job and have a family, I mean, it's hard. And I think some basic things that can start with is, one, like, you have to measure it. So, you know, the Peter Drucker saying of, you know, what gets measured gets managed is number one. I think number two, when you're going about change to try to improve it, not trying to change 10 things at once. So let's say, you know, you take your HRV in the morning and it's very low. Say it's in the red. If you're using the stop sign panel, okay, when I look at that and I see athletes come up like that, or just, you know, everyday clients, I immediately go to sleep. You know, how did you sleep the night before? And then that could even go to deeper questions of, are you waking up in the middle of the night? Do you have to go to the bathroom constantly? Are you on your phone? So then it goes down all these other areas of, okay, there's a lot of things that could be causing you not to sleep well. You could have a newborn. So how do you try to fix that? You know, is it say, not on your phone 2 hours before you go to bed, you know, to cut the excessive blue light out. You put those special glasses to block that out. So, I mean, there's so many things that I think go into it that a professional athlete may have a lot of control over and still may not even be compliant with, but then also a lot of things that maybe the everyday person has on their plate as well.
Let's talk about like aerobic exercise and its impact on HRV.
Yeah, I mean, aerobic exercise, you know, has a big impact because if it's done at a low enough intensity, you know, there's not a strong signal from that sympathetic nervous system. And so, you know, you are, you know, if you look at the development of the ventricle of the heart, a lot of that low exercise just allows that chamber to get bigger and stretch. And that really kind of over time, and if you do enough of that, begins to change you into that more moderate parasympathetic tone, so to speak. And so then with that, you're going to have a lower resting heart rate. So the cost of just going through your daily activities is lower. Your ability to recover from stress, in theory, is better. You could go into better sleep latency earlier and longer. And because it's easy enough, you can repeat it daily. That's why walking to me is like the best exercise for, you know, the everyday person. Because you can do it every day, the cost is low, and it just has so many, I think getting outside too is undervalued. So that's my answer to how aerobic exercise can be beneficial to HRV.
If you want to improve your HRV so that you can better adapt to stress, so that you can live longer, then you need to check out the AIM7 app. By following AIM7's daily recommendations for exercise, recovery, and mental fitness, you can increase your HRV and your ability to regulate stress. So start now for free by clicking the link in the show notes. Okay, if somebody's like, how do you adjust the training for your athletes or your clients using HRV?
Yeah, so this is where the art of it comes in and understanding the context of that individual person. So if a special operations client that I'm working with wakes up and is, you know, tests red, okay, are they on a mission? Are they in a stressful environment? Did they just come back from being up 48 hours straight? So I think, you know, understanding the context of it, and if it's just on a regular training day or training schedule, okay, then today we will take an easy day. So you may do 60 to 90 minutes of very easy walking outside. You may do some water therapies, you know, that you and I know about, whether it be contrast showers, Epsom salt baths. You may like meditation. So just things to try to get you back into that balance. Homeostasis is the scientific word for that. And then test again the next day to see how you are. Because I give you that prescription today doesn't automatically mean you're going to be green tomorrow. It may take you a few days to get better. So we're not a mechanistic machine. The human is very complex.
How do you deal with people when they get frustrated with like, oh, I'm red, I can't do this today? Or how should you reframe your mindset towards that?
That's what I used to deal with a lot in Omega Wave. I think people view training as if I nearly kill myself or I have to crawl out of the gym, there's just a puddle of sweat on the ground, like that's a good workout. And if that's all you want to get out of it, if you're red and you want to train like that, go ahead. But the cost is going to be very high. And so it's an education process to the individual of what the downside of training in those modes are, what may be causing you to be consistently having low HRV, and to understand that it's not a quick fix or instant gratification to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And some people will be into it and work through it. Some people, because it's their choice on what they want to do, will just continue to go forward. And we all have that choice.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the frustrating things about technology is that you can have a solution that really work for somebody and it's like, well, I still want to do this thing. And there's certain wearable out there, I'm not going to name it, where that community is basically like, yeah, I measure this every day, but I'm still going to go crush myself. And,
right.
And it's just like, great. Like, then why even track? Like, to your point, which you said earlier, if it's important, track it. And then if it's important, change your behavior to improve it. Don't just track something to track something. That's wasting your time and it's going to make you frustrated. If you're really interested in improving something, track it, put a process in place, and then be willing to adapt. Otherwise, just stop buying the devices. That's the way
I think about it. And then the flip side of that is, hey, I'm always green. This thing doesn't work. It's always telling me I'm green. It's like, well, that's what you actually want. Like, you want that stability, right? You want to be able to train if that's what you want to do. Like, stability is not a bad thing on HRV. It's actually quite good. Some of the time, most of the time. So, and I think you and I actually had a conversation about when I was working at Omega Wave, where they had red, yellow, green, and then you had put kind of a fourth category into the really ready to go when you could really train hard, which to me is like, man, you want to try to get there periodically, right? And so if you have the patience to work through this, you will just feel so much better. And those good days will come more often. You'll get more out of them. And then that super day where you can really go hard will be even extra special for you. But it takes a lot of time to get there.
I'm with you. This is just something that I've found that's very difficult. You know, in the company I run, AIM7, is having to educate somebody that, like, hey, if you're going to use this as a traffic light. And there's nothing wrong with dialing it back. Like today, for me, I don't feel that great. So I've just been outside walking a bunch. I don't know why. I just don't feel awesome. So guess what? And my HRV was down last night. I have no clue why. I hope I'm not getting sick, but I'm just going to take measures so that the trend doesn't keep going down. I might as well sacrifice one day instead of having 5 days that are just completely trashed.
And that's why I use it. I try to use it with as many high school kids as I can. And one of the biggest reasons I do that is because, and I've taken surveys on this, like they range anywhere from 25 to 40 hours a week of school, plus anywhere from 1 hour to 5 hours a week of homework. Plus they could have 5 to 15 hours a week of sport practice. Like, that's a lot. And then you worked in college and you know the load on, from just a school standpoint, on some of those athletes, and then practice on top of that. So to me, it's very important to monitor that to ensure that I'm really not putting them in harm's way of a really bad injury or a long illness because of outside of the training is just too much for them.
If you enjoyed today's podcast with Mark, do me a favor, take a picture of the cover art and share it on whichever social media platform you use. Tag us both and ask some questions about HRV. Mark would be excited to answer them for you. We've got one more coming with Mark here soon, so make sure to keep an eye out for that. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.